Good. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you for the invitation to speak here. It's always a pleasure to be back in Canada. The problems I'm going to speak about are spin-off questions from Transcendent's problems. I should say, first of all, that it's joint work with Graham Murphy and his student, Rob Lang, and also Matt Baker and Tilda. So here's the setting of the problem. The version of this equation in Ramanujan's notebooks, but this is a version by Grosvold, which is optimal for our purposes. So we define the sum of the kth powers of divisor function to the k, and we take fk of z to be sum n equals one to infinity of let's just try it over here. Fk of z is sum n equals one to infinity of sigma k n on n to the k z to the 2 pi I n z for z in the upper half plane. And then we have the following. F 2k plus 1 of z minus z to the 2k of minus 1 on z is half theta of 2k plus 1 z to the 2k minus 1 plus 2 pi I 2 to the 2k plus 1 on 2 z r to the r 2k plus 1 z. This is our fundamental equation where r is the Ramanujan polynomial, so it's r 2k plus 1 z is sum j equals 0 to k plus 1 of b 2j and 2j factorial b 2k plus 2 minus 2j on 2k plus 2 minus 2j factorial z to 2j. I did indeed, thank you. F 2k plus 1. And so in principle, this gives you a formula for because these are the 2k plus 1 in terms of these f functions, which are kind of like the integral. What kind of a formula can we get? Well, we get a nice formula if we chose R, if we chose Z such that R is zero. Provided that also z to the 2k minus 1 was non-zero. So the first question is, can we find z in the upper half plane so that our 2k plus 1 of z is 0 and z to the 2k isn't 1. And then we get a nice formula. So so where are the zeros? Where are the zeros of a lot? That's the first question. The second question is, suppose the entire right hand side were zero. Then, so if the entire right hand side of star let's call it something, say, polynomial of k plus 1, and I think we have to divide by z for future reference, is 0, we get, then obviously we get f k plus 1 of z is z to 2k f 2k plus 1 minus 1 of z. So if we have zeros at the right hand side of the entire right hand side, then we get solutions to this equation. So where are the zeros? The zeros of the right hand side of polynomial P. Okay. Well, how are we going to well, first look at question 1 and R. Well, so So the polynomial R has got a rational coefficient, and it's also even, obviously, and because of the symmetry between J and 2k plus 2 minus J, it's a reciprocal polynomial, and so R of 1 on Z Z to the 2k plus 2 equals R of Z. What else can we say about R? Well, from the formula, for the Zeta function at even integers is of course given in terms of Bernoulli numbers. We can use the formula backwards to tell us how big the Bernoulli numbers are, using the fact that the function at even integers is just a bit bigger than one. So so we can use B2J and 2J factorial is minus 1 to the J plus 1 to theta 2J on 2 pi to the 2J. And this gives us, if we then scale R, so it's monic, it'll give us the following formula. So R has now been scaled. I'll still call it R. And so Z to the 2k plus 2 minus some J equals 1 to k theta to the 2j as theta 2k plus 2 minus 2j over theta 2k plus 2 z to the 2j and then plus 1 again. Now, let's have a look at these coefficients and take k largish, so these are very close to 1, and this will be a bit bigger than 1 to start with, but it'll quickly also go to 1, and there's a 2 at the front as well. So so if k increases, these polynomials look like z to the 2k plus 2. Now, ignoring this term, you'll get pi squared on 3 z to the 2 k minus, etc., pi to the 4 on 45 z to the 2 k minus 2 minus. And then effectively twos all the time, 2, 2, 2. Then z squared and then plus 1. They don't all cancel. I think we just have this term, and then I think it's okay. I think so. So now this is z to the 2k plus 2, and this is about 10 over 3, and 10 over 3 is about 3, so it's, no, whoops, I better make sure that that's a z, and this is a 2k, and then this is about 2, so it's minus 2 z to the 2k minus 2 minus 2 z to the 2k minus 4, all the way down to minus 2 z to the 4th minus 3 z squared plus 1. So everything is 2, all the coefficients are 2, apart from the first one, which is 3, approximately. And then something surprising happens, a bit of serendipity, that this polynomial factorizes exactly. And so it factorizes z to the 4th minus 4 z squared plus 1 into z to the 2k minus 2 plus all the even powers of z, which we can rewrite as z to the k plus 1 times z to the k minus z to the minus k over z minus z to the minus 1. And then we get z minus z to the minus 1 squared minus 2. So, what's going on here, and what's all this approximation for? Well, so let's call this polynomial a of z here. So a of z, this is a of z. It's a polynomial approximating our polynomial R. And it has a particularly nice form. Now, so we're trying to find out where the roots are. And of course, the first thing you'll do is get on the computer and do some calculations, and you'll find that it looks like the polynomial R always has four real roots, and all the others are on the unit circle. And that's easy enough the real ones are easy enough to find. Then, so we have R of 2 is negative, and so there's one real root bigger than 2, and then if R of alpha is 0, then R of minus alpha and R of plus or minus 1 over alpha are also 0 by those properties there. So we have 4 real roots, and then the problem is to show that all the others are on the unit circle. And we also want to investigate whether the two case roots of unity either. So the idea is that we try and quantify the difference between R and A. It's okay to do so. Now we think that all the roots are on the unit circle, so we put Z equals E to the IT, and then estimate estimate A of E to the IT minus R of E to the IT. And we just use standard estimates for the values of these zeta function at these particular values, and we get A of E to the IT minus R of E to the IT is smaller than 1.3. Which is in fact small enough for our purposes, because now if we look at A of Z on Z to the K plus 1 on the unit circle, then what do we get? We get so for Z equals 1, then so A of Z on Z to the K plus 1 so it's minus 2 plus 4 sine squared t into sine kt over sine t. Well, if we plot this function, so it's certainly real, and then, I mean, if we draw a picture, it's like so, and it's also at the peaks, it's big. I mean, this is one, and this is plus or minus one, and this is less than one in modulus, less than one in modulus, and this is this is at least two, so it's bigger than two when sine kt is one here, and it's smaller than minus two when sine kt is minus one. But R isn't very far from A, and 1.3 is smaller than 2, fortunately. So, R, so here's a picture of A. Well, R is in some corridor. I suppose I could try and draw a green corridor. So it's in some kind of a corridor like this, a snaky corridor. And so it guarantees it's basically the intermediate value theorem. In between each peak and trough of A, so at the peak, R is also positive, and at the trough, R is also negative. And so this gives us all the roots, and so we find that if we do a count of the number of peaks and troughs, we get next, can Whoops, I probably shouldn't have scribbled that out. So if R of alpha is naught, can alpha can alpha be a proof of unity? So we have A of Z on Z to the K plus 1 being Z to the K, Z to the minus K. So now we show in fact that if a zero of alpha is a root of unity, it has to be a 2k root of unity. This comes from the amazing coincidence that alpha to the 2k minus 1 is essentially a factor here. So when does that happen? If alpha to 2k isn't 1, then if we call this thing B of Z, so B of alpha is non-zero, and it's an algebraic integer, and we know that if we take the product of the conjugates of the so these are conjugates of alpha, then this is a non-zero integer, so it's at least 1 in modulus, and so some B of alpha I is at least 1. They can't all be smaller than 1 for some conjugate alpha, and this thing is bigger than 2, so A of alpha I is bigger than 2, but remembering that R and A differ by 1.3, then R of alpha I is non-zero. Okay, so if alpha is a root of this thing, then alpha to the 2k has to be 1. And now So, well, so if we have a zero of R that's a root of unity, it has to be a 2kth root of unity. Right. Now, now we have a strange fact. Let's look at this lemma. If we take a cyclotomic polynomial, the elf cyclotomic polynomial. So it's the polynomial whose roots are the primitive elf roots of unity. Then, except for L equals 3, 4, or 6, pi L has a root e to the I theta with theta in smallish, so 14 pi over 45 union pi minus 14 pi over 45 to pi. So so here's a unit circle, then all the cyclotomic polynomials have a root either here or here. So here's this angle here. Except for I and the cube root of unity and minus cube root of unity bar. Well, so what? Well then, so this tells us that 3, 4, and 6 are kind of special in this way. Now, if R of alpha is 0 and it's a primitive elf root of unity, then phi L divides R. But we also know that phi L divides A because A has this factor here, so, and phi L divides A, and so phi L divides R minus A. Now, R minus A is the error term, the difference between our original Ramanujan polynomial and the approximation. But the approximation is good, but it's not that good. So we approximated pi squared on 3 by 3, for instance. And so there definitely is an error, but r minus a is positive on this region here, on this set here. So if alpha is a root of R, it's a root of this, and so are all its conjugates, and so phi L can't have a root in here, because phi L must be 3, 4, 6, and then you easily get that R that the only cyclotomic factor that if alpha is a k-th root of unity and R of alpha zero, then an L to the unit, sorry. Then L is 4, 4 K even. L is 3 or 6, 4 okay, multiple of 3. So we get a complete factorization, a complete description of which roots of unity are zeros of the Ramanujan polynomial, and as a result, then we get that. So for 2k plus 1, at least 9. So R at least 4. Figure of 2k plus 1 is 2 1 z to the 2k minus 1. F 2k plus 1 of z minus z to the 2k f of 2k plus 1 of minus 1 on z, where the imaginary part of z is positive, z is a modulus 1, and z is 2k isn't 1. Right. So that's the end of that story. So I can say a small bit about the next story. Pardon? Yes, it is. Thank you. Okay. Now, going back to the second question. The second question asks about the vanishing of the right-hand side here. So, question two. So, what can we say about that? Well, it's convenient to remove the eye by making a transformation. So we map Z to IZ, and we also replace K plus one by K, and then we get a real polynomial PK of Z, which is e to 2k minus 1, e to 2k minus 1 plus minus 1 to the kz, and then essentially as before, 2k minus 1 on 2k factorial sum j equals 0 to k of minus z squared. And it's essentially the Ramanujan polynomial again, except with k instead of k plus 1. Now, you can try the same trick on this polynomial, and if you do, you get that about half of the roots of this polynomial are on the unit circle. But computation shows that they're all on the unit circle. And so you have to try something a bit different. So we came up with the following lemma. Suppose we have a polynomial h of z degree r, and suppose all its roots are actually inside the unit circle, and take h star of z to be the reciprocal polynomial of h, and then any power of z times h of z plus h star of z has all its roots on the unit circle. Now, this actually makes a very good exercise for undergraduate complex analysis students. It's just an application of Ruchet's theorem. So you just if you look at say take a complex number C and then so to the NH plus lambda H star, then if lambda is smaller than one in modulus, then this, well, these two have the same modulus on the unit circle. So if lambda is smaller than one, then this is bigger, so the sun has the same number of roots inside the unit circle as the big one, namely n plus r has n plus r roots in the unit circle in say less than one. And then if you take lambda bigger than one, then this is the big term, and it has no roots in the unit circle. So as lambda crosses the unit circle, all the roots go from being inside to being outside, and therefore all are on. So lambda equals one. Z equals one. And then so the problem comes to approximate this polynomial. So you take the polynomial pk of z, and it's approximately a power of z times a polynomial plus it's reciprocal. But there's an error, and the problem is to estimate the error, and for the error to be small enough such that you can still apply the lemma, and you can do that. And the details aren't too painful. So I'll end, I think, by making a couple of tangential remarks that suppose you have the following question. So if you take the cosine function to got two n zeros there, so how much can you perturb the cosine function so it still has two n zeros? So when does cos NP plus sigma AJ cos N minus JT equals 1 up to R? We'll have two and zeros on the unit circle, and you can just apply this, and so for large N answer is if and only if Z to the R plus sigma A J Z to the N R minus J equals not has all roots on the has all roots in Z less than one. Then another variant of this lemma is the following: that if you so map you it does depend on N. So I'm asking for which for which AJ is this true for all sufficiently large N. So it's a sufficient condition for all N, but it isn't always necessary. But if you want a true for all N, then for all large N, then okay. So if you map the unit circle to the real part of Z equals a half, then you will get a similar kind of lemma that if so if Q of Z has all roots in the real part of Z less than a half, then U of Z plus U of 1 minus Z has all roots on real part of Z equals a half. So I just put that down for obvious reasons. I don't know if you replace U by an entire function and say I don't know Z 1 minus Z theta of Z theta of 1 minus Z is U of Z plus U of 1 minus Z, and then so if U of Z has all its roots in the left half plane, then this function has all its roots on the axis. Okay, I'll stop there.